إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session dealing with the book Ta'zeem as-Salah. And this book, covers many important points that make clear to us the great importance of Salah in the life of a Muslim, its magnificence and its exalted, lofty, sublime station, status or rank in the life of a Muslim. The author of our book is Sheikh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr Hafidhahumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. And he has, as we mentioned last week, primarily collected topics that he had delivered in the form of a khutbah on Yawm al-Jum'ah in various places. Today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue the discussion from last week, dealing with the importance, some clear matters which show the importance of Salat, its great significance and worth and value, and why a Muslim should be careful and attentive in the preparation for and performance of the Salat every single day, every time we pray. Before we go into the topic, the second chapter of the book, before we go into the topic of Salat, As-Salah, which is the topic for the second chapter, we'd like to review quickly some of what we covered last week from the introduction and matters related to the author and the first chapter which we dealt with last week. So, before I repeat the questions from the study guide from last week, I'd just like to see, just for myself, how many people attempted to answer the questions from the study guide from last week. How many people made an attempt? You weren't here? You didn't get one. Do we have your email address?
Yes.
We have it?
Yes.
Then you got it then, if we have it, because I sent it to everybody.
I'm not familiar with email.
Get some help. There are a lot of young people here, mashallah. They can help you. All the young people know how to do this stuff. I understand. Believe me, I understand. I'm almost old as you are. Tayyib, get some help, please. Okay. So, I say then that, brothers and sisters, it is really important, for your benefit. It's not as an examination, but for your own benefit, to attempt to answer the questions from the study guide. The purpose of the study guide is for you to evaluate your own self on what you have retained and what you have understood. If you are not able to answer those questions, most of them, or at least some of them, then that means you need to go back and look at it again, look at the topic again. Because these questions are all taken directly from the topic that was presented. So if you have a bad memory and you don't know how to take notes, then get a recorder, telephone, anything that records, and record it so you can go back and listen to it. Strengthen your memory. Okay, I encourage everyone to please make an attempt to answer the questions. Even if you don't want to answer the questions in class, in the review, but at least for your own benefit, so you can see where you're at. What did you, yani, gain? What did you retain? What did you understand? This is a part of learning, really. It's a part of learning. Learning is not relaxation. It's not entertainment. It's struggling, striving, making some effort. If you don't make any effort, you won't get much out of it. Okay, anyway, this is a reminder, inshallah. Al-dhikr, yani benefits the people of Iman. So the first question we had from last week, study guide, the introduction in three parts, the title of the book in Arabic and English. The title of the book in Arabic and English. Naam, Isa. Ta'zim al-Salah. Naam. The great importance, magnificence of Salat. Naam, naam. Recognizing, acknowledging the magnificence and the greatness and the importance of Salat. Recognizing this, acknowledging this, being conscious of it and then acting upon it. Yani ta'zim al-Salat, it means to exalt, to extol this act of worship in a way that is befitting of the one who we are worshipping, Allah al-Azim. So ta'zim al-Salat means that you recognize that Allah is Al-Azim. And you recognize that the Salah is important because of who it's being offered to. And so you give it care. This is very important. Second part of the first question, the author's name, date of birth and education. In brief, name, naam.
Sheikh Abdul Razzaq.
Sheikh Abdul Razzaq. Ibn Abdul Muhsin. Al-Abad Al-Badr. Hafidhahumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Date of birth. Dhul Qa'dah, 22nd, 1382. Jayid. His education, in brief. Medina, University. Naam. Naam. He did his studies in Medina University. His undergraduate, bachelor's degree, master's degree, PhD degree. Naam. The second part of this question, his teachers, writings, and occupation. Teachers, writings, and occupation. Naam. Abdul Muhsin, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, his father. Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And who? Sheikh Ali Nasir al-Faqih. Hafidhahullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. Naam. His writings? Somebody give me one of his books. Naam. Fiqh al-Ada'iyya wal-Adhkar. Naam. Somebody give me another book. Another book. Naam. Causes behind increase and decrease of Iman. Naam. Another book. So a lot of his books have been translated into English. Naam. Methodology of Ahl al-Sunnah and uniting the Ummah. Naam. Other. The explanation, Sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. Naam. Rahimahullah. Naam. 50 points of benefit from the story of Luqman. Naam. Al-Hakim. Naam. What else? And many other books. He has a lot of books. A lot of books. So many. So many. Subhanallah. Naam. Occupation. Naam. He's a professor in the Jamia Islamia. Naam. In Medina. Naam. Okay, after this we said, طيب. يكفي هذا. Question number two. Mention the reward along with three conditions necessary to receive it or to achieve it. Related to the performance of the obligatory salah. From the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. The reward and the three conditions necessary to achieve it. Somebody else, please. Help us. Somebody else. What is the reward that we mention in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Imam Muslim? Naam. Expiation of sins, past sins. Naam. As long as? As long as you didn't commit the major sin. Naam. So what are the conditions that's mentioned in the hadith? Naam, Abdullah. Wudu, khushu'. Somebody help him. Ruku'. Specifically though, what about wudu and khushu' and ruku'? Specifically, or more specifically, naam, Abdul Rashid. The perfection. فَيُحْسِنُ وُضُوعَهَا وَخُشُوعَهَا وَرُكُوعَهَا. Yani the person, there's no Muslim person when the time of the salat comes, obligatory prayer, and that person يُحْسِنُ وُضُوَحَا وَخُشُوعَهَا وَرُقُوعَهَا إِلَّا كَانَ كَفَارَةً لِمَا قَبْلَهَا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ مَلَمْ يُعْتِي كَبِيرَةً وَذَلِكَ الدَّهْرِ كُلَّهُ. What is the meaning of this? يُحْسِن الْوُضُوء, meaning that he performs it well, performs it perfectly, with excellence, not carelessly. And this requires that a person study الْوُضُوء, study it, know exactly how is it performed, the proper manner, and then to give care to it. And al-khushu', to do it well, al-khushu'. What is al-khushu'? Humility, a state of being humble, in submission, in awe of standing before Rabbil Alameen. And the ruku' we know, right? Well. But how do you perform it? The Prophet ﷺ said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me praying. It is incumbent upon a Muslim to examine how did the Prophet ﷺ pray? How did he perform ruku'? How did he perform sujood? To know it well and then to practice it. Some people know it but they don't practice it. Some people, they say, I read that book. I read it. But it doesn't appear as though you read it. You're not practicing it. Do you know how you have to perform ruku' perfectly? Well, to do it well? Do you know what you have to do? If you don't know, you can't do it. And then if you know, that's not enough, but you have to then act upon it. Anyway, let's go on to the next question. That's another topic, inshallah, we'll come back to it. Question number 3. Summarize the hadith of Al-Aswad, related by Aisha radiallahu anha, as reported in Al-Bukhari, and the significance of this hadith. Yani summarize the meaning of this hadith. The hadith. Naam. Aisha radiallahu anha reminded them about the sickness from which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Now,
and then at that time the adhan was announced.
Uh-huh.
And the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Bakr to tell him to read the salah. And then
the time for the prayer came, the adhan was announced, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to command Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the prayer, to lead the people in prayer. Now. It was said to him, it was Aisha Naam, but in the hadith it doesn't say it was her Naam.
It said that he was soft-hearted and he's not going to be able to because he's going to cry too much.
Naam, that he's soft-hearted and he wouldn't be able to lead the people in prayer. Because, yeah, and she didn't say that, but in other narrations it mentioned that he cries when he recites the Quran. Naam.
So then after that, two men...
After she said that first, after she said that, help us somebody. After she said that, what happened? The Prophet ﷺ said, he told them again to order Abu Bakr to lead the salah. And they repeated their argument. And he told them a third time. And the third time he said what? You are like? Sawahib Yusuf. What do we mean by Sawahib Yusuf? It's going back to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Who, what happened when the ladies was saying, she was saying something different than what was the reality of the matter, and that's what Aisha radiallahu anha was doing. She was saying something different than the reality of the matter. She was saying he's soft-hearted. In reality, she was trying to what? Get him to relieve Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, her father, from this tremendous obligation of leading the Muslim ummah. Naam. So after that, he said that, and he said again, order him, muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin nas. He commanded Abu Bakr to lead the people in prayer. And then, you want to finish it? Naam. Before that, before the Prophet ﷺ came out, Abu Bakr came out. He was ordered, he came out, and he led the people in prayer, began to pray. Then,
the two men helped the Prophet ﷺ get up, and his arms were around their shoulders.
Now,
his feet were dragging, the eyes were around his
feet. Now, then the Prophet ﷺ came out with two men carrying him on each side, carrying him, and his feet were dragging due to the sickness, the condition that he was in. Now, until. Abu Bakr tried to come back, to move back, to let the Prophet ﷺ lead the prayer. But he told him, stay there, stay in your place, mechanic, now.
And then he prayed, and as if the Prophet ﷺ was leading this world, he prayed.
Now, so in the end of the hadith, it says that they placed him, the Prophet ﷺ, besides Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet ﷺ was praying, leading the prayer, and Abu Bakr was following his prayer. And the people were following Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his prayer. Now, what is the significance of this hadith? In brief, the most important point from this hadith. Now, most important point.
The importance of Salat.
The importance of Salat. How does it show the importance of Salat? Mustafa.
Even though he was really sick, truly sick, he still came out.
Even his condition was like that. He couldn't even walk. People carrying him, dragging him to go across the floor to come and pray. That's how important is the Salat. Not only the Salat in Jama'ah. He could have prayed at home in his bed. But in Jama'ah. Naam. This needs to be examined, but we don't have enough time to examine it. But this is something that we need to reflect upon. Did anybody receive the video? 30 seconds. Of a man almost 100 years old. And what was he doing? He was walking to the masjid to pray in Jama'ah. He had a cane in one hand and holding the wall on the other hand. And how was his steps? Little steps, slow. But he was what? Determined to pray in Jama'ah. Look at ourselves. What is our condition? This is something to think about. Wallahi. A man has to think about this. Do we understand that the prayer in the Jama'ah is obligatory upon men? Is it not something voluntary? If you like or don't? Some people understand that and some people don't. May Allah give us success in doing that which is pleasing to Him. Question number 4, quickly, mention the first indication or proof of the magnificence, the lofty status and importance of Salat in the life of a Muslim. The first proof that the author mentions, now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Salat obligatory on every prophet, all of them. And he also informed us of how they magnified and the way that they viewed the importance of Salat. This is the first evidence that the Shaykh mentions. And he mentioned a lot of evidences concerning to this. From amongst them, question number 5, mention the names of 3 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, upon whom Allah made the salah obligatory along with the ayat of Quran where each one of them is mentioned. And he mentioned one prophet, alayhi salam, and yani an ayat related to him and the salah. Naam. The prophet Shu'aib, alayhi salam. Naam. What was said about the prophet Shu'aib?
They said, "O Shu'ayb, judge your salat, command that we give up without a father to you to worship, or that we give up doing what we like
Naam.
Without a property."
Naam. Does your salat, as-salatuka ta'amuruka, is it your salat that is commanding you, ordering you, to prohibit us from worshipping as our fathers used to worship? Worshipping that what they used to worship? And using our wealth however we like? Is it your salat? How is this ayat any proof here? Now, they saw in him that the most important thing in his life was the salat. They said, "This is your salat? Is it this salat that's making you to prohibit us from worshipping what our fathers used to worship?" They understood that this is the most important thing in his life. What about us? Now, another prophet. Naam, in the back, Musa.
Ismail.
Naam, alayhi salam. Naam. Wa kana inda rabbihi mardiyya. What is the meaning of this? Somebody help us. Huh? And remember the mention of Ismail in the book. Mention Ismail in the book. What?
He.
Naam. He was truthful in fulfilling a promise. He kept a promise. If he made a promise, he kept it. Very important. And after that? And he was a messenger and a prophet. This is it right here. What? He used to order and command his family with salat and zakat. He used to command his family. He didn't just pray by his pray and later for them. Rather, you're also responsible for your family. You're also responsible for your family, especially if you're the head of the family. But even if you're not, your brothers and sisters and everybody else, and your neighbors and everybody, remind people about salat. This is very important. But especially your family. It's obligatory upon you. One more prophet. Now.
Isa alayhi salam.
Surah
Maryam.
Surah Maryam.
30 and 31.
مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما كنت
حيا. نعم جيد. What is the meaning? عيسى عليه السلام, he said what? When I am the slave, the servant, the worshipper of Allah. Naam. He has given me the book and he has made me a prophet. And he has made me to be blessed wherever I am.
And ordered upon me the salah and the charity.
And he has ordered me with salah and zakat as long as I am living. Naam. Last prophet, one more. We had a lot of them, mashallah. Naam, Isa.
Yunus
alayhi salam. Surah Safat, ayah, what?
133 to 134.
Naam, meaning?
If he wasn't among the people that made tasbih or the people that prayed,
naam,
Musallim, he would have remained in the stomach of the whale until Yawm al-Qiyamah.
Naam, if it wasn't for the fact that he was from the Musabbihin, yani Musallim, then he would have remained in the belly of the whale until the day when people are raised up. Now, if it wasn't for what? If it wasn't for the fact that he was from the Musabbihin, the Musallin. Now, and there are many other prophets the Shaykh mentioned, about 10 different examples of different prophets, and all of them are very important, alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, the last question, summarize the hadith in which it is mentioned that our 5 times of prayer were the same for all the previous prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Summarize the hadith. Naam.
The angel Jibril came to the Prophet
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And he prayed him all the salawat.
And he led him in prayer?
All the salawat in the early times.
And he led him in prayer where?
At the Kaaba.
In the bait, at the Kaaba. How many times? Twice. Well, 2 days. Naam.
First day he led him in prayer in the early time.
First day he led him in the prayer in the earliest time.
The second day he led him in prayer in the
latest time.
He said this prayer is between these.
Naam. That the time of the prayer is fima baina al-waqtaini. The time for the prayer is between these two times. Hada waqtu al-anbiya min qablika. Or qablaka. Naam. So, the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he's mentioning actually the time of each prayer. The earliest time, it's the beginning of his time. And in the second time, he mentions the time that he was led in prayer by the angel Jibril ﷺ, which was the latest time of each prayer. And those times, inshallah, are well known to us. If they're not, we need to know them. And we don't have time. This is not a fiqh class today, so we don't have time for it. But inshallah, it's something important for us to know. When is the beginning of the time? What is the end of the time? And always try to pray in the beginning of the time. For men, try to pray in the Jama'ah, in the masjid. As we'll see today, we're going to talk about this in a little detail. Naam. Okay, this is a somewhat lengthy review, but la bas. Allahu musta'an.
Excuse me. Was it true that Shu'ayb was drunk?
Questions are in the end, inshallah. Related to the topic. طيب الصلاة الصلاة. The Shaykh says, إن من أكبر المصائب وأجلها وأعظمها وأشدها مصيبة الأمة بوفاة النبي الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي من الله على أمته ببعثته وكان دليلهم إلى الجنة وقائدهم إلى كل فضيلة وإمامهم في كل خير. And here he quotes the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 21st Ayat, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخرة وذكر الله كثيرا. And the Shaykh says that indeed, from amongst the biggest calamities or disasters, and the greatest of them, and the most supreme, and the most severe of them, is the calamity that befell this ummah with the death of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one who Allah blessed this ummah by missioning him, by sending him. And he was their dalil, their guide to the Jannah. Now, is this a musibah? He was the guide to the Jannah. And he was their qaid, their leader in every fadila. In every fadila, yani in every good quality, in everything of excellence, he was the leader. And he was their imam. في كل خير. In everything that is good, he was the imam, the model, the example that the people can follow. So his loss indeed was from amongst the greatest, the most severe, the most supreme calamities that befell the ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, yani the meaning of which he mentions, indeed there is for you in the Messenger of Allah, uswa hasana, a good, excellent example, model to be followed in the Messenger of Allah. For whoever has hope in Allah and the last day and who remembers Allah much. He's our model, he's our example. And in this salah is our topic now, but he's our model in everything. In worship, in marital relations, social, business, interactions, in everything. He's our model, he's our example. But in salat, that's what we're talking about here now. He's our example that we're looking to follow. What is the example that he's left for us? In this event that we're going to talk about briefly tonight, and we started to talk about it last week, we're going to talk about it again tonight, yani the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, in this great event, there are many, many things to consider. Ibar. Many things to consider. And there are a number of lessons, durus, that it is befitting of us that we stop upon them and reflect upon them. Which event? The death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the greatest of those things that we should consider and think about, the examples, the lessons that are in this event, is that which is related to the affair of the salah and the clarification of the status or the position of the salah in Islam. In this event, there is a great example and a lesson and something to reflect upon. There are profound, it is a profound lesson and an example that should have an effect, a tremendous effect that will be derived from this great event and this yani weighty calamity, the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh says, لَقَدْ كَانَ آخِرَ صَلَاةٍ صَلَّاهَا نَبِيُّنَا عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ صَلَاةُ الظُّهْرِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْخَمِيسِ. Yani the last prayer that the Prophet ﷺ prayed with the believers in jama'ah, the last prayer that he prayed with believers in his life, he said it was the Dhuhr Salat, and it was Yawm Khamis, on a Thursday. This is history. The last prayer that he prayed in jama'ah with the believers was Salatul Dhuhr on a Yawm Khamis. Then he, alayhi salatu wasalam, yani his sickness, his ailment, became more severe after that prayer, Dhuhr prayer, on Yawm Khamis. So he remained for 3 days. He was unable to come out for the prayer due to the severity of the sickness. And those 3 days were Yawmul Jumu'ah, Yawmul Sabt, and Yawmul Ahad. Jumu'ah, Saturday and Sunday. He couldn't come out for the salah. The last time he came out was on Yawm Khamis, Dhuhr. And 3 days came, he didn't come out at all. Yawmul Jumu'ah, Yawmul Sabt, Yawmul Ahad. After that, Thursday. Yani the following day, Saturday, he didn't come out at all. Sunday, he didn't come out at all. Monday, he didn't come out at all. Friday, Saturday and Sunday, not Monday. Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Monday he came. And he came out on Thursday, he didn't come out on Friday at all. He didn't come out Saturday at all. He didn't come out Sunday at all. At all. No, he didn't come out. He didn't come out after that. That was the last prayer he prayed. Dhuhr prayer. Yawm al-Khamis. At this time, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was taking his place, leading the people in prayer as the Imam of the Muslims in the Salat. Radiallahu anhu. So in the Fajr prayer on Yawm al-Ithnain, the fourth day, Yawm al-Ithnain, in the Fajr prayer, the day in which the Prophet ﷺ died, he removed the curtain from his room to take a look at his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Yani a farewell look. Nadrat al-Wada'a. And what a farewell look it was. The hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim in their two sahihs from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. أن أبا بكر كان يصلي لهم في وجعي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي توفي فيه حتى إذا كان يوم الاثنين وهم صفوف في الصلاة فكشف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستر الحجرة ينظر إلينا وهو قائم كأن وجهه ورقة المصحف. And indeed it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was leading the people in prayer during the time of the sickness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sickness from which he died, until it was Yawm al-Ithnain, yani Yawm al-Ithnain. And the people were lined up in the salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pulled back the curtain from his room, and he was, Anas radiallahu anhu says, he was looking at us, yanzuru ilayna. And he was standing, and it was as though his face, yani was waraqatu mushaf, yani something radiant, bright, beautiful. ثم تبسم يضحك فحممنا أن نفتتنا من فرحي برؤية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled and he laughed. And Anas radiallahu anhu said that we were about almost at the point of yani being put to trial. They were in salat and they were almost at the point of being put to trial, yani to leave the salat due to the happiness that they experienced at seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَنَقَصَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَلَى أَقِبَيْهِ لِيَصِلَ الصَّفَّ وَظَنَّ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم خَارِجٌ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. So Abu Bakr began to retreat, to go backwards, to get into the line with the people in the first line, thinking that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was coming out to the salah, as he did on Yawm al-Khamis, in Salatul Dhuhr. فَأَشَارَ إِلَيْنَا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أتموا صلاتكم وأرخى الستر فتوفي من يومه. Instead, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم signaled for them to complete your salat. And then he let down the curtain and he died in that day. So let us reflect. Let those reflect who would reflect. Those who would consider. This is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is looking at his ummah in the masjid. That look of farewell. The look is the look of joy, of happiness for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. For indeed the salah, it was the joy, it was the qurrata aynihi, yani it was the coolness of his eyes, the thing that pleased him more than anything else, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah had given him that pleasure, the pleasure of his eyes, yani to see the Muslims in the morning of the day of his passing, to see his ummah mujtami'ina fil masjid ala hadha salah. To see his ummah gathered together in the masjid to perform the salat. Gathering together in jama'ah, in the masjid. Performing the thing that was most pleasing to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he smiled and he laughed, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this smile, it was the smile of joy and happiness. And this laugh was the laugh of intimacy or friendship and delight and happiness. At his seeing his ummah gathered together in the masjid for the salah. And when he let down the curtain, alayhi salatu wasalam, yani he was satisfied, he was happy, he was delighted with the sight that he had seen. A joyful, delightful sight, a pleasant, pleasing image of his ummah, the ummah of Islam, gathered together in the masjid performing the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the joy of his eyes, the coolness of his eyes, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, with this image this beautiful, delightful image and this joyous condition that he saw his people in. And this, yani, this idea that we have, walaikum salam, of the greatness and the value of the salat, it is not, yani, resting solely upon this event in the last moments of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. Rather, there are many other proofs and evidences that point to the greatness of salat besides this. If it was this alone, it would have been sufficient for us, for the one who reflects. That a person at the time of their death, that they have a chance to experience that which they love most in this world. And that was what he loved most. But rather there are other indications. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, as it is reported by Imam Ahmed in the Musnad, and also reported by Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah, and Shaykh al-Albani said in Jami' al-Sahih, or Sahih al-Jami' that it is Sahih, the Isnad that is confirmed. From Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصَّلَاةِ الصَّلَاةِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي مَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُكُمْ الصَّلَاةِ الصَّلَاةِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي مَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُكُمْ The prayer. Observe taqwa of Allah in that which your right hands possess. The last, كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصَّلَاةِ بل جاء ما هو أبلغ من هذا فيما رواه ابن ماجه في سننه بسند ثابت. يعني that which is more profound than this came in that which is reported by ابن ماجه in his sunan with an isnad that is صحيح. الشيخ الألباني in إرواء القليل said that is صحيح from Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه قال كانت عامة وصية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين حضرته الوفاة وهو يغرغر بنفسه الصلاة وما ملكت إيمانكم. يعني that the general advice, the thing that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was saying all the time, his general advice at the time when death came to him, mostly what he was saying, even to the time when he was struggling to breathe, at the time when his soul was being taken from him, when his soul was departing from him, he was saying الصلاة وما ملكت إيمانكم. The salat, and be careful with those whom Allah has placed under your care, in your hands, your slaves, that which your right hands possess. وَجَاءَ أَيْضًا مِنْ رِوَايَةُ سَلَمَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا زَوْجَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ كَانَ عَامَةُ وَصِيَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند موته الصلاة وما ملكت أيمانكم. It even came in another narration from Salama, one of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنها, that the general advice and instruction of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of his death was as-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat imanukum. Hatta ja'ala nabi sallallahu, even to the point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept saying this over and over and over again, and this was what was abounding, pouring forth from his tongue at the time of his death, yani as-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat imanukum. And there's no doubt that this points to the greatness of the status of salah in Islam and the greatness of the care of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the salah. And whoever reads the ahadith, the noble hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his yani outstanding advices in his lifetime, throughout his life, all of this points to the worth, the value of salah and the station of salat in Islam. وَقَدْ كَانَ مِنْ شَأْنِ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ وَمَكَانَتِهَا أَنَّهَا خُصَّتْ مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرَائِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأُمُومِ الطَّاعَاتِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عَرَّجَ بِنَبِيِّهِ إِلَى مَا فَوْقِ السَّمَاءِ السَّبْعَةِ وَفَرَضَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةَ مِنْ فَوْقِ السَّبْعِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. يعني from those things, yani that show the greatness of the status of salat, is that it has been singled out, especially from amongst the other obligatory duties of Islam and the general acts of obedience in Islam. It has been singled out from everything else in that Allah Ta'ala, He has caused His Prophet to ascend in the ascension, to ascend to above the seven heavens and made obligatory upon him the Salat from above the seven heavens. Yani the obligation of Salat was given to the Prophet after Allah had caused him to ascend above the seven heavens. وَسَمِيَ الْأَمْرُ بِهَا وَفَرْضَهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى بِلَا وَاسِطَةً. And the Prophet ﷺ heard this command to perform the Salat and its obligation from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala without any in-between medium. Not as a revelation that came through an angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, but rather directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he made obligatory upon him 50 prayers. And he asked Allah jalla wa ala to reduce them. So he reduced them to 5 prayers. So the 5 prayers, they were 5 prayers in number, but they were 50 prayers in reward. The reward would be equal to 50 prayers, as though you have performed 50 prayers. While other acts of obedience, generally speaking, and all obligatory duties and acts of worship, they have come down to the Prophet ﷺ on the earth by being revealed through the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Him making them clear and him revealing them to the Prophet ﷺ. وَهَذَا يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَكَانَةُ الصَّلَاةِ الْعُظْمَى. And this makes clear to us the supreme great status of prayer. Here the Shaykh, he says, and we are, and it is, yani we're in asifin, yani it is, I don't know, yani it is unfortunate, we are sorry to say, that the condition of some of the people have reached the point that they have made Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. The Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj, the night of the night journey and the ascension to the seven heavens, they have made it Laylatul Ihtifal, a night of partying. Yani this great event of the Prophet ﷺ ascending to the seven heavens and the Salat being made obligatory on that occasion, that's how important the Salat was. They made it into what? What was important to them on this occasion? Parties. Celebrations. They have no basis in Islam. Where they are reciting Qasa'id and they are chanting Arajis. Yani different types of poetry. While they have given no care to the Salat. And they have even, yani, lost it. Who is it that has commanded them with this? These parties, these celebrations on the occasion of this great event. Who is it that has commanded them with? The Shaykh says, who is it that has called them to this? And where are they in reference to the affair of the Mi'raj, the ascension of the Prophet ﷺ? And what came in it? The great, tremendous lesson. And this magnificent, significant command to protect and preserve this Salat. Where are they in reference to this? And what, do they have any care about this matter? So you see some of them being very lax with the Salat, even having disdain for the Salat. Disdain for the Salat. Wallahi. But they were not let pass one of these celebrations, one of these innovated, newly invented celebrations. They would not let it pass. Rather, they give full attention to it in preparation and participation. So the Shaykh says, فَأَيْنَ هَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ حَقِيقَةِ الْإِتِّبَاعِ وَالْإِقْتِدَاءِ وَالْإِعْتِسَاءِ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So where are these people? Yani where do they stand in reference to strictly following and following, taking the example and the pattern and the model of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where are these people in that? Aina haulai min tabassum al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa dahiqihi wa qurrati aynihi bi ru'yati ummatihi mujtamiyatan ala hadhihi as-salat. Where do these people stand in reference to this, the smiling of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his laughing and the coolness of his eyes in seeing his ummah gathered together in jama'ah for the performance of this salat? Yani what do they know about this? What do they care about it? Where do they stand in reference to it? has no importance to them at all. It's not even in their minds. But for us, inshallah, it should be a tremendous lesson, a dars, a ibr, something to reflect upon and to consider the greatness of this affair in our everyday life, in every salat that we perform, especially the obligatory prayers, but even the voluntary prayers. In every salat, when we're standing before Allah, we should be thinking that we are doing something that is magnificent, is tremendous, is great. This is not an ordinary act that we are just having a sandwich or having a conversation with your friend. You're standing in front of Allah, Rabbil Alameen. Naam. Person has to think about this, because otherwise, sometimes we go to pray with the intention of praying, and then we lose our attention, our focus, and we just go through the salat, we don't know what we did in the salat. Maybe even from the takbir, from the beginning, you didn't pay attention, that you're saying, Allahu Akbar, what does this mean? We didn't pay attention to that. We didn't pay attention to the supplication that we said in the beginning of the salat. What are we saying? What does it mean? Do you think about these words? Tremendous, tremendous words that we are saying, but are we reflecting on them? Or have we said them so many times that it's just automatic pilot till the end of the salat? Al-Fatiha, Ruku, Sujood, all of it. Indeed, the Shaykh says, those who love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with true love, they will translate this love and they will express it in ittiba sadiq, truthful following, and iqtida tam, complete and perfect, taking his example. Wa ta'assin, and following the pattern of his guidance, bihadihi, wa ittiba sunnatihi, and strictly following his sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how you express your love for the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, by following him strictly, taking his example, taking him as a model in everything in life, but especially in this our topic and our salat. Do we perform salah as he did? Do we love the salah as he did? Do we give care to the salah as he did? If we know how he gave, what he gave to it, the attention and care and the excellence of his performance of salah, then how does that affect us? Do we follow him in that? Or we just Sunni? We Sunni, Salafi. What does that mean? Sunni. That means we follow the Sunnah. In what? In speech? Or in action, in life, in character, in manners, in worship? Especially first and foremost in salah. If you don't have it in salat, perhaps it will be nowhere else. As the Prophet ﷺ said in some hadith, that if a person's salat is accepted, the rest of their deeds will also be accepted. And if it's rejected, the rest of their deeds will also be rejected. This is how important the salat is. So it is not translated, your love of the Prophet ﷺ, it is not expressed. And you do not express your love of the Prophet ﷺ by establishing parties and celebrations and inventing seasons for these celebrations and the like of it, of that which some of the people have been tested and tried with as a fitna, as a ibtila, while they are claiming that these parties and celebrations are due to their love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, the Shaykh said, wallahi thumma wallahi, I swear by Allah, if this indeed had been from the love, true love of the Prophet ﷺ, and from the following and true, sincere following of the Prophet ﷺ, then the first people who would have done it would have been the noble companions of the Prophet ﷺ. If this was real love and following of the Prophet ﷺ, they would have been the first one who did it. And the tabi'un, lahum bi ihsan, and those who follow them in excellence. ولكن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين ومن اتبعهم بإحسان لم يفعلوا شيئا من ذلك. But rather the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and those who follow them, they didn't do any of these things that these people do. None of it at all whatsoever. Nothing resembling it. Rather, their actions was in following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, taking him as example of his sunnah and sticking to his guidance. Sticking to it. عليه الصلاة والسلام الصلاة الصلاة this was the advice of our Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and it was from the last of the things that were heard from him عليه الصلاة والسلام. So all you who love the Prophet, true love, الصلاة الصلاة, this is the wasiyah, the advice, the instruction, the legacy that the Prophet ﷺ has left for you. This is the covenant that he has left for you. And it has come to us in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, with an isnad that is jayyid. And the Shaykh says that Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, has declared this isnad to be hasan in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, that the Salat was mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ one day. And he said, من حافظ عليها كانت له نورا وبرهانا ونجاة يوم القيامة. That whoever guards, preserves, gives care to making sure that they perform the salah, then on يوم القيامة it will be for them a light, and it will be for them a burhan, a proof in their behalf, and it will be a means of najat, of safety, yani to be saved, salvation, to be saved on يوم القيامة. It will be for them a nur, a light of guidance, and a burhan, and a proof on their behalf, and a najat, a means of safety and security and salvation on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever doesn't guard and protect and give care to performing the salat, making sure that they are performing salat, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نُورٌ وَلَا بُرْحَانٌ وَلَا نَجَاتٌ. Then it will not be for him a light or a proof or a means of salvation. وَكَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا قَارُونَ وَفِرْعَونَ وَهَامَانَ وَأُبَيْ بْنِ خَلَفٍ. And that person who doesn't give care to the salat and the protection and preserving of the performance of the salat, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah he will be with Qarun and Fir'aun and Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf and all of these. Yani some of them you may know and some of you may not know, but for sure you know that these are the leaders, the pillars of Kufr. Yani whoever abandons the salat, who doesn't guard and protect the performance of salat, then he will be gathered on Yawm Al-Qiyamah with the leaders of kufr, with the pillars of falsehood, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. And then the Shaykh mentions a couple of hadith here. Quickly we'll go through them in consideration of the time. And these hadith, inshallah, will come back again in the following what follows in the future. But these are hadith that a person needs to know. And whoever can memorize them, or at least their meaning, it will benefit you as an encouragement for you, for yourself first and foremost. And then as a help for your brothers and sisters in Islam and your family and loved ones. That you know these hadith so that you can remind people of the severity and the seriousness of this matter. The Shaykh, he mentions, after the hadith that we just mentioned, that's the first of them. The second hadith, he said, is reported in Sahih of Muslim, rahimahullah, on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, bayna rajuli wa bayna shirki wal kufri tarku salat. That which is between a man or a person, man or woman, and shirk and kufr, that which separates them from shirk and kufr, it is tarku salat. Yani if a person abandons the salat, then he will fall into kufr and shirk. This is what separates the person from shirk and kufr. It is the salat. Whoever abandons it, yani as the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and it's also reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah on the authority of Burayda radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal, al-ahd alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat, faman tarakaha faqad kafara. Al-ahd alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat. The covenant that is between us and them is the salat. Yani the covenant, that the agreement that we have made that separates us from them, it is the salat. When you entered Islam, you agreed to these things. Inshallah, somebody told you that after you bear witness to the oneness of Allah and the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you have to pray 5 times a day. That had to be the first thing they told you after your shahad attained. That's a covenant, that's an agreement, contract. The covenant is between us and them is salat. فَمَنْ فَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Then whoever abandons salah, she has definitely fallen into kufr. And it also came in the Sahih Bukhari, rahimahullah, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annu qal, man salla salatana wa istaqbala qiblatana wa akala zabihatana fadhalika al-muslimu alladhi lahu dhimmatullahi wa dhimmatu rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَا تُخْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي ذِمَّتِهِ. Yani whoever performs our prayer, the prayer of Islam or the Muslims, whoever performs our prayer, and whoever faces our Qibla, that is the Kaaba, Mecca, and who eats our slaughtered animals, be careful what you eat. ذبيحة. Not as they say, is it halal? Yes, halal. يعني it's not pork. ذبيحة. These people are tricky. We're talking about the Muslims. They say it's halal. Is it ذبيحة? Now if he has a little bit of iman, he might hesitate. The one who performs our prayer and face our qibla and eats our slaughtered animals, then this is the Muslim الذي له ذمة الله وذمة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the one who has the protection, the ahad, the amana, the trust that Allah has given them, يعني a protection, and also the protection of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So do not violate, do not break the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you break it? By not performing the salat. And other ways. And the hadith concerning this topic are many. And as I said, we'll come back to it again with many, many more hadith dealing with this topic. And these are sufficient, inshallah. And then the Shaykh, yani we're coming to the end here. Trying to finish in 1 hour. Or hour and 10 minutes maybe. Then we come to the end here. The Shaykh says, after this he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ أتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومحبيه. Then fear Allah, O followers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and those who love him. Fear Allah. If you are a follower of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and you love him, then fear Allah. واحفظوا هذه الوصية وتذكروا قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام في أيامه ولحظاته الأخيرة وفي توضيعه أمته الصلاة الصلاة. So fear Allah. Observe taqwa of Allah. And protect and preserve and guard this wasiyya, this invite, advice, instruction, legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember his saying, in the last of his days, in the last moments of his life, and his bidding farewell to his ummah, when he said, "As-salah, as-salah," the prayer, the prayer. وانظروا في سيرتي المحبين الصادقين رأيل الأمة الأول. فَمَا أَزْكَاهَا مِنْ سِيرَةٍ. And look at, examine, consider, inspect, reflect upon the history, the life of the truthful lovers. Yani those who are truthful in their love, real love. The first generation of this ummah. And oh, how pure is this seerah. Yani this life history of the early, the first generation of the Muslims, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And here the Shaykh, he mentions that which is reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. By Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous report from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, and this narration is quite long, but if anyone memorized it, it would be good for them. But if you didn't, at least record it. He said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَلْقَ اللَّهَ غَدًا مُسْلِمًا. مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَلْقَ اللَّهَ غَدًا مُسْلِمًا. Whoever would be pleased to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim. Tomorrow is what? يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whoever is any one of us, would any one of us be pleased to meet Allah as a Muslim in a state of Islam and submission on Yawm Qiyamah? Everyone wants that. But it will just be given to you freely? He said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَلْقَ اللَّهَ غَدًا مُسْلِمًا فَلْيُحَافِظْ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ الصَّلَوَاتِ حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِنَّ. Then guard and protect these salawat, these prayers, from where they are being called to. Where are they being called to from? Al-Masajid. Guard them, حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِنَّ, from the place from where they are being called to. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَرَعَ لِنَبِيِّكُمْ سُنَنَ الْهُدَى وَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنْ سُنَنَ الْهُدَى. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sunan al-Huda, the practices of guidance. Sunan al-Huda, the practices of right guidance. Wa innahunna min Sunan al-Huda. And these prayers being performed in the place where they're being called to are from the ways of right guidance. that Allah has legislated for your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunan al-Huda. Naam. Walau annakum sallaytu fi buyutikum kama yusalli hadha al-mutakhallif fi baytihi la taraktum sunnat nabiyikum. And if you were to pray in your homes as this mutakhallif, this backward, retarded one who is left behind, who lagged behind and prayed in his home, if you were to pray in your homes like this one did, then you would have left the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what do you say about that? How can anybody answer that? How can anybody answer that? وَلَوْ صَلَّيْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ كَمَا يُصَلِّ هَذَا الْمُتَخَلَّفْ فِي بَيْتِهِ لَتَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيُّكُمْ. You would have left the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, and this is tremendous, وَلَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَضَلَلْتُمْ. And if you had left the sunnah of your Prophet, you would have gone astray. What is the sunnah of your Prophet? The prayer in the masjid. If you pray in your homes, you would have left the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَضَلَلْتُمْ. You would have definitely gone astray. Pray in the masjid. And he went on to say, and this is the second part of the hadith. The first part of the hadith, if you want to meet Allah, yani as a Muslim, then preserve these prayers in the place where they're being called to. And the second part, because Allah has legislated for your Prophet, Sunan al-Huda, the ways of guidance. And from those ways of guidance, is the prayer in the masjid. These prayers in the masjid. And if you were to pray in your homes, you would have abandoned the Sunnah of your Prophet. And if you abandoned the Sunnah of your Prophet, you would have indeed gone astray. Then he said, وَمَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَتَطَحَّرُ فَيُحْسِنُ التُّهُورُ. That there is no man or person who performs purification and performs it well. يعني يحسن التُّهُور, performs it well. Don't be negligent in your performance of wudu or ghusl or whatever purification you're doing. Don't be negligent in your purification. Because as we already saw, the salat that's performed from the person who has done well in the wudu and then well in the khushu and well in the ruku, then this person, that salat will be for him a kafara for the sins that have passed before. But first you have to start with purification. He said, there's no man who purifies himself and performs it well, ثُمَّ يَعْمِدُ إِلَى مَسْجِدٍ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْمَسَاجِدِ. And then he goes intentionally to a masjid from amongst these masajid. Again, this is the point of what? Salat in Jama'ah in the masajid. There's no one from amongst you who performs purification and does it well and then goes with the intention, and he goes to one of the masjids from these masjids. إِلَّا كَتِبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَخْطُوهَا حَسَنًا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَيَحُطُّ عَنْهُ بِهَا سَيِّئًا. There's no one of you that performs wudu and performs it well and then goes to one of these masajid with the intention of salat, except that Allah will record for him for every step, بِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَخْطُوهَا, every step that you take, Allah will record for you a hasana. وَيَرْفَعُهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً, and he will raise you up. By every step you take, he will raise you up a daraja. وَيَحُطُّ عَنْهُ بِهَا سَيَّا, and he will remove from you, by every step that you take, one of your sins. Every step that you take. How many steps do you take to the masjid? At least 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 100, maybe 200, 300. Some people are walking from far. Every step you take, Allah is recording for you a hasana. And he erasing one of your sayyah and raising you up a daraja. For the one who does what? First and foremost, performs wudu and does it well. And then intentionally goes to the masjid for the salat. Then this is the reward that they will receive. And then he says, radiallahu anhu, yani Abdul ibn Mas'ud, he said, and this is the third part of this statement that he makes here. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ مَعْلُومَ النِّفَاقِ. لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا, he said, I have seen us, meaning who? The Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا, and no one of us will stay behind from it. From what? The salat in jama'ah. إِلَّا, منافق معلوم النفاق. No one stay behind from the salah and jama'ah in the masjid except a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known. Meaning, munafiqun ma'lum al-nifaq. Meaning there were some munafiqs who the people didn't know they were hypocrites. They used to come to the masjid. And even the hypocrites used to come to the masjid. Except the hypocrite, everybody knew he's a hypocrite. No benefit in coming to the masjid. He couldn't fool anybody. Everybody came to the masjid. Where's that at today? And finally he said, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلُ يُؤْتَ بِهِ يُهَادَ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفِ. That indeed, there would be a man who would be brought, يُؤْتَ بِهِ يُهَادَ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ. He used to be brought to the masjid being carried between two men. Where did he get that example from? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From among Sahaba, he said, indeed, there were men who would be carried to the masjid. Yani they would be brought to the masjid being carried between two men until they were placed in the line. This is how serious they were about salah, how important it is, and in jama'ah, in the masjid. So reflect upon this radiant, shining image and this honorable state which the noble companions of the Prophet ﷺ were upon, such that they وعوا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سنته وفهموا وصيته وحققوا اتباعه والاقتداء به. يعني they fully grasp, they took heed, they paid attention to the يعني sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they understood his wasiyah, his advice, and they حققوا يعني they realized, actualized, implemented real following and taking him as an example. What about us? There will be a man from amongst them, he will be brought to the masjid, being carried between two people, with a man on his right side holding him up, and a man on his left side holding him up until they will place him in the line. That is the case of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. While the reality of the condition of many of the people amongst us today who do not give weight to the salat, it has no weight with them. يُشْغِرُهُ عَنْهَا أَدْنَى الْأُمُورُ وَأَدْفَاؤُهَا وَأَدْفَاؤُهَا. يعني he will be occupied with the least matter. أَدْنَى الْأُمُورُ, the least thing. Why he didn't come to the salat? He got a telephone call. Or he didn't come to the salat because had to go shopping. Or some nonsense. The most trivial of things will occupy him from the salat. He couldn't make it. A lot of excuses. And the shaykh, he closes. This will stop here. So observe taqwa of Allah in reference to this salat. Guard it. And he perform it consistently, regularly, on time, in its place. Establish the salat and give care to its arkan, yani the pillars of the salat, and its shurut, the preconditions of the salat, and its wajibat, the obligatory duties of the salat. And I'll add, and not because the shaykh missed it, but I just want to add, because he's emphasizing what? The shurut, the preconditions of salat that are necessary for the validity of the salat. If you don't give care to those things, the salat will be invalid. No, whatever you do in the salat, if you haven't fulfilled the shurut and the arkan of the salat, the essential elements without which the salat will be invalid, and the wajibat of the salat, the obligatory duties in the salat, he said, give care to these things. Riaya, yani care, like intense care. Huh? Like al-riyaya al-murakkaza. They have that where? In the mustashfa, intensive care unit. Give care, intense care to your salat. For indeed, it is the first thing that the worshipper, the slave of Allah, will be asked about on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And if it is accepted, then the rest of his deeds will be accepted. And if it is rejected, then the rest of his deeds will be rejected. جعلنا الله عز وجل من المقيمين الصلاة ومن المتبعين للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم احشرنا في زمرته وتحت لوائه ووفقنا لاتباعه يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And the Shaykh, he makes this dua for us. May Allah accept from us and from him that Allah make us of those who establish the Salat and those who truly follow strictly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us up in his group on Yawm al-Qiyamah under his banner and grant us the success and the ability of following him. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And inshallah, perhaps next week we'll read the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned here in the end about the person whose salat, يعني if it is accepted, the rest of the deeds will be accepted, and likewise the opposite. Naam. Naam. Naam, you will be raised up. Yani, we know that you will be raised up in degrees, meaning your status in front of Allah will be higher. Your status in front of Allah will be high. In this world and the next life. In this world and the next life. Naam, salat will benefit you most importantly in the next life. We're not... Daraja means your level, your place, your status, your position. Naam, in al-Jannah, Allahu A'lam. But I mean, your status, indeed your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be raised up. Naam.